Thank you all for attending today, and I'm going to shout out some of my co-authors, Taylor Johnson and Dr. Aubrey Madcore. Thank you so much for being here today. So I'm just going to jump right in for sake of time. I'm here to speak with you about the You Go Girl study, which is a randomized control trial of a web-based pregnancy prevention intervention for young African-American women here in the city of New Orleans. And I have no conflicts of interest or commercial interest to disclose. And before we begin, if you're a little curious about the funding source for the You Go Girl study, we are fully funded by the DHHS Office of Adolescent Health Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. It's a large federal initiative that granted over $100 million nationwide to support evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention approaches, whether those are replications of evidence-based interventions or like the You Go Girl study, an adaptation of an evidence-based intervention. These grants are 5 years and were awarded in 2010 and will go through to fall of next year. So for sake of context, let me move this out of the way, let's talk about teen pregnancy as a public health issue. So while unintended pregnancy in the United States has significantly declined in the past 40 years or so among younger youths, it's continued to remain pretty high among older teens. According to some 2010 Guttmacher Institute data, 18 to 19-year-olds made up of 41% of all 15 to 19-year-olds, but accounted for nearly 70% of all the teen pregnancies. Along with this disparity among different age groups, there are also substantial disparities across different racial and ethnic groups, with the pregnancy rate among black women aged 15 to 19 being more than twice that of non-Hispanic whites. Additionally, half of unintended pregnancies occur among contraception users, resulting from either inconsistent or incorrect use. So there's definitely exploration needed in access to some reproductive health services, access to contraceptive options, and also adherence to these methods. Honing in on Louisiana state data, we see that the rates for teen pregnancy, teen births, and teen abortions are more prevalent than nationally, with Louisiana ranking number 5 for the teen pregnancy rate, number 6 for the teen birth rate, and number 10 for the abortion rate. And also the pregnancy rate among the older teen category, those aged 18 to 19, was more than twice that of younger teens. So along with these alarming stats come some challenges in trying to target these issues. I'm in Louisiana, and I'm sure in most, or in some other places, most prevention programs are school-based and implemented at younger ages. So older teens have, you know, little to no access to these programs. And I'll also add that here in Louisiana, there is no one centralized reproductive health curriculum in schools if they're offered. And the schools that actually do provide some of this prevention programming are abstinence-focused. Additionally, older teens transitioning into adulthood face myriad competing priorities. In particular, some of the women that we work with in the You Go Girl study, some of them are continuing education, some of them hold either a full or part-time job, some of them are parents, some of them are doing all of that. So that definitely warrants the need for an innovative approach. So the research team at Tulane decided that they would adapt an evidence-based intervention for web delivery. Web-based delivery affords youth the freedom to access valuable information whenever and however convenient for them, and also having an online intervention could serve as a model for other unintended pregnancy programs that could be conveniently disseminated with consistency and cost effectiveness. So the evidence-based intervention selected to adapt is the CELA intervention. CELA stands for Sisters Informing, Healing, Living, and Empowering, and was developed by Drs. DeClementi and Wingood of Emory University. This intervention has an HIV and STI prevention focus. The target audience is African-American teens aged 14 to 18, and the curriculum is administered in 4 4-hour group sessions on, say, consecutive Saturdays in a community setting. Once it was developed, it was administered in a randomized control trial alongside a general health and wellness program. So to translate CLAY to eCLAY, or electronic or web-based CLAY. Tulane researchers work with the creators of CLAY and use the CLAY developers' adapted model to translate the intervention. The adapted model is an 8-phase guide to translate essentially any evidence-based intervention to a brand new one with a new sample for a new setting or using a new implementation format. We chose the internet. Our target audience is African American teen females, age 18 to 19 years old. The modules are self-paced modules, and the curriculum is actually broken into 8 sessions, and it's also administered in a 4-week period. We are currently evaluating eCLAY in a randomized control trial alongside a general health promotion program also developed by the research team. So we decided that the main focus of eCLAY would be reproductive health and contraceptive options. Only the relevant CLAY models and activities were translated to the electronic medium. And because CLAY has such a large focus on HIV and STIs, a new content was developed that focused more on contraceptive choices. For the control website, it's general nutrition and wellness, talks about exercise, eating healthy, things of that nature. It's similar in length and appearance to the reproductive health intervention. And you'll see it a little later. So a great deal of formative research was conducted to identify key elements of intervention development. As I said, the Tulane research team worked very closely with the CLAY developers, and also a community advisory panel was assembled to get the perspectives of young African American females themselves regarding recruitment strategies, website names, the layout and design of the website, also what would motivate them to participate and stay in the study, and so much more. Additionally, because this was such uncharted territory for the research team, there was a great deal of research done on electronic delivery options, website development, video, audio production, etc. So rather than having a very densely structured website, it was decided that it would be a very dynamic and interesting website, and the content would be delivered through the stories of 4 young women. Though all African-American, the characters are diverse physically. They're different sizes and shades, and they have different situations. They work through their own specific reproductive health challenges. There's also a 5th character that you see quite frequently throughout the intervention. She's a slightly older woman who provides an objective viewpoint, shares some of her own experiences, and also just moves the intervention along. So once the curriculum was outlined, scripts were created, and production teams were assembled. So production for both the intervention and control websites were largely local efforts, with the exception of the website developers themselves, who were based in India. They were just used by the university, and it was great to just use some developers that had already been used. So working through those barriers, we eventually got the websites built. But from the production companies to the local graphic artists to the characters themselves, all from New Orleans. So once we had 2 fully functioning websites, 13 African American women were recruited to pilot test both the intervention and control websites. 7 were randomized to eCLAY, which the community advisory panel named Beautiful, and 6 were randomized to Divas, the nutritional control. They were all allotted 1 month to engage in their respective websites and asked at the conclusion of 1 month to come in to provide qualitative feedback of their experiences. That feedback was then used to edit the websites before the launch of the RCT. So, to give the RCT a catchy, cute name for the young teen women that we've been working with, the RCT was named You Go Girl, with go having the colloquial French-ish spelling. This serves as a marketing alias for not only the intervention, but it does mask the content of the intervention and control websites. And it's promoted as a health education and empowerment program for African American teen women. I'm gonna move quickly for the sake of time, but the goals of the RCT are primarily to reduce unintended pregnancy among older teenage African American women here in New Orleans. We're hoping that those who engage in the intervention will have a 35% increase in their use of effective contraception methods. And we're hoping to reduce chlamydia and gonorrhea infections by 20%. The inclusion criteria is as follows. To participate, you must be female, identify either in part or fully as African American, be aged 18 or 19, reside in Jefferson or Orleans Parish, not be pregnant at baseline or intend to become pregnant within the next year, not a woman who has sex exclusively with women. That's not to say that WSWs couldn't identify with the information, but this is a targeted efficacy trial, so we want to get the people who would be most at risk. The participants must speak and read English and have consistent access to a computer with internet access, whether that's a personal or public computer. Given that we are in year 5 of the RCT, recruitment has concluded and we were able to enroll 650 participants across 5 local sites that include historically black colleges, the largest community college here in Louisiana, community access venues such as clinics and events like health fairs. We also have a phase-in model, which simply means that we didn't enroll anyone on the spot. We sort of, you know, assessed interest, called them later, and determined whether an enrollment would be appropriate. So here's just some examples of some of our recruitment materials. They're super cute. So here's just a snapshot of some baseline characteristics of the young women participating in You Go Girl. You see about 64% at baseline reported having been sexually active with at least one male partner in the preceding 3 months of their enrollment. About 80% report they had one partner, but about 20% had two or more. Greater than the percentage of those who were sexually active are those who intend to have sex with them the next year. Only 44% used no form of contraception whatsoever, not even condoms. About 56% use one or more methods, more meaning, say, condoms with birth control pills or something else. And also we found about a 10% chlamydia positivity rate and a 1.4% gonorrhea positive rate. So here's just a snapshot of the participant visits. Participants have 4 visits with us over the course of 1 year. The enrollment appointment is pretty standard with informed consent, HIPAA, we get more contact information. They take surveys, one is demographic, and one is more, you know, assessing behaviors. We also provide biological testing, which comes in the form of urine sample. We test for pregnancy, chlamydia, and gonorrhea, and that's where they receive their randomization. Then, after the intervention period, they have 28 days of site access, that's the 4 weeks, they become eligible for 3 follow-up visits, all similar to the enrollment, but it's mostly for reviewing protocol changes, they still take surveys, and they receive biological testing, with the exception of the first follow-up, and at the first follow-up is where they provide qualitative feedback regarding their experience on the website. So, the intervention period, as I said, is 4 weeks. They receive several reminders throughout the intervention period because we realize we're not their first priority. And there's a great deal of staff monitoring that goes along with activity on the website. And similar to Paula's intervention, we have Google Analytics that track the time they spend on sessions, what activities they engage in, and what have you. I wish I could participate. Because these young women are incentivized every step of the way. If a young woman completes all components of the study, meaning that she's attended all 4 visits and has completed all 8 of her sessions, which are each worth $5 apiece in Walmart gift cards, she will have earned $265 in Walmart gift cards and a cool swag bag. So let's just go a little bit into the website. And for sake of time, I'm actually going to skip the trailer. So here's some screenshots of EC Layer Beautiful. This is just a landing page. You'll see here at the top, the sessions are at the top. Because this is my login, you see all of them at once, but the young women actually see only just the first session when they log in. The sessions are successive, so they cannot skip around. Once they complete one session, it unlocks the next. There you see our 4 characters, and then this is the moderator character to your right. And this is just to show you that Beautiful's not boring. It's very interactive. They have points where they can blog, they can take quizzes, they can click different methods or STIs and learn about them. And at the end of each session is a bulletin board that actually links them out to other sites that have relevant content. And as I said, divas, Which I should go into this, but BEAUTIFUL is actually an acronym for Be You, Talented, Informed, Fearless, Uncompromised, and Love. We did not come up with that. The CAP came up with that. And same thing with DIVAS. They named the control DIVAS, which stands for Diversity, Individuality, Vitality, Activity, and Strong. And this just shows that DIVAS looks almost exactly the same as BEAUTIFUL, but covers, like I said, the nutrition and wellness curriculum. And they're the same characters. They have different names and different stories. And it's also interactive, just as BEAUTIFUL is. So there's a common misconception that an online intervention is hands-off, and I think I speak for the entire team when I say it is absolutely not. There are so many reminders and points of contact that we have with the young women that come in the form of text messages, whether they are reminders or fun facts. They get birthday cards, they get a quarterly newsletter, which is what we use to feed back to our participants and our community partners, you know, the status of the study, and we also have Facebook graduates pages. That's just a mock-up of the newsletter. So what's happening now? So because we're done with recruitment, all of the final women that we enrolled are actually done with their site access, and all of our participants, if they haven't already completed the study, are at various stages of follow-up, and we have exceptional follow-up rates. At 3 and 12 months, you see that they're about 89%, and at 6 months, about 87%, which is awesome for an intervention working with teens. we are in year 5. So no outcome data to report yet, but we are going to be conducting some analysis, doing some evaluation, and reporting to our funders and back to the community. Feedback from the participants themselves has been absolutely amazing. Some of them say that this information that they receive, especially for ECLA and BEAUTIFUL, is information that they've never had their entire lives, a lot of them sexually active also. 95% say that they enjoyed the website, and about 98% say that they will recommend it to a friend. Also, in this last year, we're going to be doing quite a bit of sustainability planning and working to have the next phases. So just the final remarks. Adapting a group intervention to electronic format is a novel approach. Availability online maximizes accessibility to health information. Delivery of content in a culturally relevant context empowers at-risk youth with decision-making tools and strategies for obtaining and adhering to contraceptive choices. And also methods for translating an evidence-based intervention to the internet are transferable to other projects. So I have provided some references if you want to learn a little more about the adapted model and see where my stats came from. Thank you to my wonderful, wonderful team. None of this would have been possible. I definitely share my award with all of you. And a special thanks to our project officer, Cassandra Chess at OAH, Juliet Henke, who is our evaluation assistant at Mathematica. Definitely all of the local people who help make the intervention and control websites possible, and our formal partners at our schools. Thanks so much.
All right, a great range. Don't forget to sign in if you haven't in the back of the room for us to keep track. And we're opening it now to questions, so all our panelists are available. Any questions? Can you come up? I think they'd like us to record those, too, and just sort of repeat the gist of the question.
So the question was concerning referrals or friend referrals and whether the young women share the website with one another. We do ask that at our three-month follow-up interview, we do encourage our participants to refer their friends. Because some of them come from schools that have, they have roommates, we try to waitlist them because we don't want contamination. We don't want, say, one roommate to get BEAUTIFUL and another to get DIVAS. So we allow friends to enroll as long as they don't live together. And also, some of them do report showing it to people. We have an agreement where we ask them not to show it, but still at the qualitative interview, we ask if they showed it. And some of them will say, yeah, I felt like my friends needed to know this. And a lot of them also report sharing with their younger sister if they have it. Because they want to, you know, share that information with their younger sibling.
And then my second one was just about, I'm not sure all the questions you asked or how much you know about the patients that watch the video, but if there was any way
Yes, I actually wanted to ask a couple of balance questions. I'll start with you in the back. I was wondering, is there any kind of companion activity for males? And you probably ask that a lot, or is there any plans for that? And secondly, I was wondering about, like, this issue about dating violence. I mean, if that's in part of your, if any of the girls' histories have that in them, the stories. And then maybe I'll just ask my other question, which is, I was wondering also with your group of incarcerated women and so on, you said that they, when they come out, they were particularly vulnerable, and I kind of missed why you felt that, particularly just when they come out. So maybe you could also talk more to that. Thanks.
So Paula's questions concerning You Go Girl were regarding a male component and also IPV among the young women. And unfortunately right now we do not have a male component, but it's definitely been in the works. We have really, really been doing a lot of research regarding what would actually appeal to males, because we all feel that oftentimes they're left out of the contraception and pregnancy prevention discussion. So please look out for that soon. I should say that we're running a community testing study with males, but we definitely want to build something like You Go Girl that really has that education component. It's one thing to test and treat, but you know, if you have no knowledge behind how to prevent pregnancy and STIs, then, you know, that's an issue. Second is regarding intimate partner violence. And there is a segment in The Beautiful Intervention that talks about dating violence and where to seek help. There's also even a unit on passive, assertive, and aggressive communication regarding condom negotiation with a partner. So that's definitely something there, and I'm going to plug for Dr. Madcore. Dr. Madcore is our IPV expert who has been analyzing our data to look at some exposure to intimate partner violence and what those effects are on contraceptive use and condom use. She's actually having a talk tomorrow at 2:30. Check her out. It's going to be awesome. That's it.
So the question was, why are women particularly vulnerable right when they leave jails? So to start off, about 30% of women who get locked up were homeless before they get locked up. 65% have experienced intimate partner violence in the year before they get locked up. So they're returning to those same situations. About 80% of women who get locked up have a child or two under age 18. So imagine women leaving with, you know, very little money, having a couple of kids, young kids in tow, you know, potentially abusive partners, both women and men, and then having to negotiate housing situations, money, not to mention their drug addiction problems that have gone completely unaddressed. And that's really sort of the dominant narrative for most women who are leaving. While I'm up here, I have a question for the panelists. Could you talk a little bit about this ADAPT-3 process? And how you use that to sort of scale up an intervention to the internet? Like, you know, is it standard? Is it easy to use? Like, you know, what's sort of the way in which you use that?
Okay, so I actually started on the project during piloting, but from what I know about the use of the ADAPT-IT model is that it's it's ADAPT-IT, and it's actually an acronym for the different steps. It's an 8-phase I would say methodology that goes from, you know, doing your formative work and your studying of your new target population all the way to translating only the relevant modules and adding what is needed based on a needs assessment of your target population, piloting, and so on. So it's a really, really easy to follow, like, roadmap of sorts.
Is it commonly used? Is everyone using this? Am I hearing about it for the first time?
I don't know if it's the new kid on the block or super popular, but
it's cool.
It was really amazing that we not only used Drs. DiClemente and Wingood's intervention, but we used their model for translating. So that's really good. So I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm not sure if it's just the hot new thing that everyone's using, but it was definitely useful for us in translating a group session intervention to the internet. surveys, which are actually CASI surveys, they collect so much information, and we do ask about insurance. You know, we don't have any outcomes yet, but just, you know, as an anecdote, insurance is all over the place. There are some people who have, you know, great coverage, and say if we are doing a disclosure and we let them know of, say, a chlamydia, gonorrhea, or pregnancy positive result, they say, oh, I'm going to go to my doctor. But a lot of them, I don't have insurance. I don't know where to go. And also with some of them who are attending schools, they either may or may not have access to a school clinic, or that school clinic may not have everything they need to really, you know, take care of their situation. So we definitely have a comprehensive list of free and low-cost clinics in the area, and we definitely try to, as much as possible, be that linkage to care. You know, we're testing and we want to make sure that they get treated.
Any other questions? Yeah, I think we're finding any state who hasn't expanded Medicaid also is leaving women in the lurch. So I want to thank our panelists and thank all of you for coming. Don't forget to sign in if you haven't. And off to lunch, I guess, or to the 12:30 sessions that are coming up. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.